This is WBAI in New York City. This is Jeannie Poole with More Than Half the World, Stories from Women's Lives. In the next hour, we're going to hear some more music by women composers, and we will hear an interview that I did with Sue Fink of the Los Angeles Women's Community Chorus in Los Angeles. A very, very fascinating group of women. They meet more than 120 of them every Sunday night to sing music by women composers, and they do concerts in Los Angeles. And you will hear a tape of their performance from last spring, and you'll understand the kind of spirit that's involved with this group. They're amateur music makers, basically. No trained singers in this group, but absolutely fascinating. I'm still taking listener phone calls, too, at 279-3400, if you'd like to talk about anything that's been mentioned earlier in this program or that will come up later. I think that we will listen to the first movement of Mariana de Martinez's Sonata. Now, this is recorded by pianist Nancy Fierro, who was just recently in New York, about 2 weeks ago. It's on an album called The Romance of Women's Music. It's on the Pelican label. The album includes Claire Schumann, Cecile Chaminade, Mariana de Martinez, and Lolita Gainsborough. And this sonata by Martinez, who lived 1744 to 1812, is her sonata in A major, and we'll hear the Allegro, and then I'll tell you a little bit about Mariana de Martinez. We just heard the first movement of Mariana de Martinez's Sonata in A Major, performed by the pianist Nancy Fierro. Nancy Fierro is a Catholic sister who lives in Los Angeles and has devoted her career as a pianist to the promotion of works by women composers. She performs not only women of the 18th, 19th, and centuries, but also some contemporary women. I heard her in a recital in Los Angeles last month playing music by Barbara Kolb. She also does music by Gratzina Basevich, particularly this very important piano sonata, and in fact has recorded that sonata also on the Pelican label. Now, Mariana de Martinez, fascinating figure of the 18th century. She studied with Franz Joseph Haydn, and in fact we know a lot about her life because Haydn kept track of her development as a composer in his papers and letters, and did a great deal to promote her career. She was primarily a composer of vocal music, but wrote some for keyboard, including this sonata and several other solo sonatas. And most of her works were not published in her lifetime, but are in the library of the Friends of Music in Vienna in manuscript. A couple of them have been published recently and are being circulated and performed by contemporary pianists. Her works were well known in her lifetime, but got lost in the shuffle. That's Mariana Di Martinez, 1744 to 1812. Now, I want to talk to you about the First National Congress on Women in Music, which I'm coordinating. The Congress organization started in 1978. I lecture at colleges and universities on the history of women in classical music. I have a slide presentation which I take around with recordings and a lecture. And I discovered in 77 and 78 that there was a lot of duplication of effort, that many people believed sincerely that they were the only expert on the piano works of Clara Schumann, and I found one such person in every town, and I would mention to them, by the way, do you know the 12 other women who are specializing in Clara Schumann's piano works? And I started to build a network among scholars and researchers doing work on women in music history, and would emphasize to them that they should forget Clara Schumann for now, because we have enough experts on that, but why don't you take up another 19th century woman composer who lived at the same time as Clara Schumann, who's equally important as a composer? Tried to redirect a lot of that research. I decided that a way to end the duplication of effort would be to have a major conference for the presentation of that scholarly research that was taking place. And that conference will happen March 26th through the 29th, 1981, at New York University, sponsored by the Department of Music and Music Education. It will start on Thursday night with a chamber music concert. We'll run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There will be 3 days of presentations of scholarly papers, panel discussions, workshops, lecture recitals. There'll be an opera performance. There'll be an orchestra concert, a choral concert on Sunday afternoon, 2 organ recitals, Vespers services, church services, a synagogue service, all with music by women composers. There will be a medieval pageant and play as part of the opening ceremony. A big festival. It's billed as a national congress, but will include delegations of women musicians from 9 foreign countries. Mostly European, but also I hope a delegation from Australia and 2 women from New Zealand. And there was a conference in Bonn, Germany recently, the weekend before Thanksgiving, on women in music, sponsored by an organization of women musicologists and performers there. But not exactly like the Congress that we're planning. Our Congress, the emphasis is on combining the scholarship with the performance of the repertoire. And we have so far about 60 papers scheduled to be presented at that conference, and about 22 or 23 panel discussions on various issues related to women in music, and workshops for composers, sort of demystifying various aspects of a composer's life. A workshop on what you should know as a composer about the recording industry, what licensing agencies can and cannot do for you, these kinds of discussions. Now, if you want more information about the First National Congress on Women in Music, you could write the Congress in care of the New York University Music Department, and the address is room 777, 35 West 4th Street, New York City, 10003, or you could call the music department. I don't happen to have their phone number. Or you could call me in care of WBAI, and I'd be glad to send you information on the Congress. I'm particularly interested in hearing from women who would like to help me with this. There are many, many tasks involved in getting this conference off the ground. We're very much involved right now in raising the money to pay for this We have many grant proposals in, and we're sitting on the edge of our seats waiting to hear. And there are many things to be done in terms of corresponding with people who have written the Congress over the past 2 years indicating an interest in attending or performing or making a presentation. Lots of work to be done with mailings and maintaining the mailing list and preparing the publicity, and I'd love to have some more help. So if you're interested in the First National Congress on Women in Music, I'd like to hear from you. I think now we'll listen to, if we have no phone calls, yes, I'd like to listen to this tape of my interview with Sue Fink in Los Angeles. This interview was done in October of this year. I'm speaking with Sue Fink, the founder and director of the Los Angeles Women's Chorus. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. I have to correct you on one thing. I worked with other people founding it. There was about six of us who got together and started it. But I've been an integral part of it for at least 5 years now.
Well, tell me about this. That means 1975, 1976?
Well, maybe I lied. It was 1977 we got started.
And what women were involved? Five or six women?
As I recall, I met Lynn Wilson in 76.
Lynn is a pianist.
She's a pianist, mostly a composer.
A composer.
And we were talking with each other, and we thought what a great idea it would be to start a woman's chorus and do music by women and foster women composers and give them an experience to have their music performed and have women get a chance to perform the works and have an audience get to hear them and learn about women composers.
And you're a choral director and...
Yeah,
and a writer
myself, yeah.
And so what happened? You call a meeting?
Well, the two of us talked, and pretty soon we found Anna Rubin, and she seemed interested in it, too. And then we started seeking other help, and we found Sylvia Cohen and Faye Haynes and Jolynn Grippo, who's my writing partner, writes lyrics with me on songs that I write. And we got together, and we started meeting. And I think unlike a lot of choruses, women's choruses, we decided not to have any rehearsals or open it up until we had it planned, at least how we wanted it to start, knowing full well that probably it would change after many women were involved.
To make sure it had a very direct
we
focus.
We wanted to have it structured and focused so that women would, we didn't want to have, I mean, hey, everybody, let's have a chorus. And everybody sits around and stares at each other and says, yeah, but where are we going to get the music and
bring
what are
your favorite tune.
Right, so we did a lot of planning. We worked for about 6 months. The first thing we did was work out our goals, what we were trying to do. We thought a lot about what it was that we wanted to say and who we wanted to reach.
And what did you come up with?
Well,
primarily for the women's community of Los Angeles?
No, we're much more broad-oriented. We thought a lot about that we wanted to have women's works performed, that we wanted to give women an opportunity to sing, no matter what level they were at. So we decided not to have auditions, and that any woman would be welcome. And any woman has come.
And your sister.
Women who hold the music upside down. We have a couple of women with doctorates in music, but it's most of the women have little experience having been in groups before singing. But everybody gets along. The women who have more skills help the women who don't have skills or take on jobs like arranging, etc.
You mean a lot of women don't sight read?
That's right. It's called learn by rote.
Uh-huh.
And some of the women that do sight read help the ones that don't by, you know, singing in their ear, and they learn it a lot faster.
So the pattern has been a couple concerts a year?
Well,
since 77?
No, we've done, the first couple of years, it was just, we did a main spring, like, event. And then we started doing some colleges. And last year we did Santa Monica College. We did Take Back the Night in March. We did the Aerospace Auto Workers mm-hmm. Convention, the NOW Convention. We don't try to do too many concerts because of conflicting schedules. And the fact that we work as a collective makes time to make decisions.
How do you do that, work as a collective? Presents many problems, doesn't
not,
it?
Well, not really. I think it's been wonderful because it keeps the burnout rate from happening. I think that's why the group has been continuing for 5 years. when someone no longer has the energy, someone else steps in and helps. And it's gotten much more and more collective. I think some groups tend to get less and less collective. And our group has gotten more and more.
You have more than 100 members?
Well, we just had our first three open meetings. Where at the beginning of the year, we open up to new membership, and we allow women to come and try and see if they want to be in the group. And we had, at the last meeting, I'd say about 120.
Oh, my. But all of those women are not participating in the management and organization of the group, right?
Anyone who comes, we have three rehearsals, and then the fourth week we have a meeting. And the fourth week, we meet on Sundays, and the fourth Sunday, we have a meeting and we talk about what we want to do. It's not mandatory for everyone to come. It's optional. Anybody who does come to the meeting has a vote about whatever decisions come up at that meeting.
So it is sort of, it is definitely a collective.
Right. So all decisions are, anybody who's interested in making decisions or working on things has the option to do so.
Now, are you the only conductor of this group?
Yes.
And that stays like that? Do you ever have conductors?
Lynn has conducted. A couple of members in the group have conducted individual songs. But other than that, I've been doing all the conducting.
Primarily. And now that Lynn lives in New York, who is playing the piano?
Well, that's what we're working on right now. We're trying to get a pianist. Jan Miller has been playing with us, and we're also trying to find a pianist who can do some improvisational type things. And Jan covers anything that has written down.
Now,
parts
are the performances a cappella or with piano accompaniment or sometimes
chamber ensemble? It varies. Depends on the situation. We do some things with chambers, like when we did the Caccini or the Great Mother, we used instruments, and other things don't require them really. Some things are a cappella.
Tell me about the repertoire of the chorus.
Well, that was one of the major things. It's always been very important to us. We try to find an issue that we want to cover or a subject, and then we go looking for the music.
For example, an issue.
We wanted to talk about working women. And later on, when I'll play you something from that we did with working women, and we decided to find as many songs that had been written by women about working women's lives.
You did a whole concert around that theme?
No, we did a medley of it, and Lynn put them together and arranged them into a medley.
And the Caccini, that's Francesca Caccini?
Yes. What Francesca?
What piece?
From the opera.
The Liberation of Ruggiero.
Right.
And you sang a chorus from that opera?
Well, we did the Ore Volante chorus, and this year we're doing another one that comes earlier in the opera. I can't think of the title right now. We just started on it.
Have you had difficulty locating enough choral works by women composers?
Yeah, I really don't have a good knowledge of where to get those. I've written to a couple places, and Lynn's done some research, and maybe I'm hoping with your wonderful expertise we'll maybe get something from you.
What other pieces have you done?
We've done contemporary woman songs, some of the things that people like Holly Near and writers like that have done, a couple of things that I've written, a couple of pieces that Lynn's written, a wonderful piece called New Woman Rising we did last year of hers. We've done songs about violence against women.
And the concerts, I understand, are very well attended.
Oh, yeah, we get a good crowd.
Everybody brings their family and
friends. And it's been growing. Every year the audience gets to be a wider spectrum of people and interests. And we do a lot of consciousness raising around issues around women, consciousness raising issues about women's strengths and struggles. And so I think the audience walks away with, I think, a very good feeling.
And how does the chorus feel?
Oh, I think the women really feel like it's something important. I think they feel that it's a wonderful experience to get to perform, to learn new skills about music, to just to participate in, you know, something that everyone has a say in. And what I think what we say to the audience is very important too. And I think we try to do it in as quality a way as possible.
Where are these concerts given usually?
We've done some colleges, as I mentioned, and last year we did our big concert at Pasadena College, and the year before our main concert was at the Robert Frost Auditorium.
Now, if someone wanted to write you, Sue Fink, about the Los Angeles Women's Chorus, how would they get in touch with the chorus? Is
Well,
there
they
an
could write me.
address?
I could give an address. 2303 Kelton.
Kelton, Kel.
TON. And it's LA 90064.
And you would be interested in exchanging information with other women's
We'd like
choruses
to
in the
get
United States?
music and as much, you know, we'd like to see what other women's choruses are doing. We've sent a lot of music out. I'd sure like to have some new input because
Come
we've done
in.
so much research and so much arranging. It would be really nice to start
I'm sure you'd
getting
be
some
glad to
music
hear from
in.
women composers who are writing.
Yes, those women composers, send your music to us.
And what about text?
Well,
You have very specific.
we do want the, and when things involve the text, it's very important for us that it says something positive about women's lives.
Right? Does it have to be a text by a woman?
We prefer to do things written by women. We have done some things that have been written jointly by men and women. Our preference is to find, to since our purpose is really to foster women writers, that's our main bent.
Okay, very good. It's a wonderful story. I wish you many more successful seasons with the Los Angeles Women's
Growing and
Chorus.
prospering.
Now, what are you going to play for us? This is a piece from a concert you gave.
Well, this is from the medley that I mentioned, the Working Woman's Medley, and we present it with a slideshow usually that has the entire history of women working that goes
My
with it.
goodness, and who did the slideshow?
Phyllis Solo, and she organized it. And so you might hear some applause in the middle of it. It's both for the wonderful singing and some of the slides that are very moving. So
And this
it's
is
a
a,
live performance.
and it's a medley arranged by
Lynn
Lynn Wilson,
Wilson.
and includes what tunes?
Them as Bread and Roses, Babes in the Mill by Florence. Can't think of her name. Blank out. It has the Uprising of the 20,000, which the lyrics came from the Triangle shirt makers strike, and we couldn't find any music, so I wrote some music to it. And then there's I tried to write it in the style of the period. And we stand as one. And well, I guess you'll hear it.
We hear a
Oh,
performance
De
of
Dolores is in it.
the Los Angeles Women's Chorus singing a medley of women's work songs.
Yeah, women's working songs.
Let us sun and sun discloses for the like me. Don't scare up for the bosses. Don't listen to their lies. Us poor folks haven't got a chance unless we organize.
Which side are you on?
A tape of a live performance, June 1979, of the Los Angeles Women's Community Chorus, conducted by Sue Fink. Performance of a medley of women's working songs, arranged by composer Lynn Wilson. And that was a tape of an interview I did with Sue Fink in Los Angeles at KPFK, the sister station to WBAI in Los Angeles. Sue Fink is the conductor and organizer of the Women's Community, Los Angeles Women's Community Chorus. And I just love the spirit of the group. It certainly is a wonderful experience. I went to the rehearsal in October, and there were 120 women in an elementary school classroom singing because they love it and they have a passion to do it, and they sing only songs by women about women's lives. They don't sing songs with religious context or content, and if there's some reference to a deity, they cut it out and entirely, and they've rewritten some songs to take out sexist lyrics and use them anyway. It's a wonderful, spirited group. They've been around a couple years, and we don't have one in New York, and it would be wonderful to have a New York Women's Community Chorus, similar to the New York Gay Community Marching Band. We need our own chorus. And the First National Congress on Women in Music will have a session, a workshop called Forming a Women's Chorus to do repertoire by women composers. And that discussion, I hope, will include Lynn Wilson, who did the arrangements on this performance you just heard, who lives now in Brooklyn, and Sue Fink from Los Angeles, and Kathy Roma from Anna Cruz's choir in Philadelphia. And those women in New York interested in exploring the possibility of having a women's community chorus in New York City. Now, I wanted to repeat before I went off the air this address for the First National Congress on Women in Music, in case you didn't get it earlier in the broadcast. If you want more information about the Congress, you should write to New York University Department of Music and Music Education, room 777, 35 West 4th Street, New York City, 10003. Once again, the dates for that meeting are March 26th through the 29th, 1981. And I am the national coordinator and would be delighted to hear from you if you'd like to become involved in the organization of that conference. Now, I would like to play for you a piece by Deacon Newland. It's on an album called Gamelan in the New World, performed by the Gamelan Son of Lion. I sort of would like them to change their name to Sons and Daughters of Lion, because, in fact, the group does involve women performers, and they do works by women composers. This album is on Folkways, with Folkways. It's 31313, and it's Gamelan Orchestra playing Machine Shop by Deacon Newland, and I thought you might enjoy this piece.
Thank you.
Just heard a performance of Deacon Newland's piece called Machine Shop on Folkways recording 31313, called Gamelan in the New World, performed by the Gamelan Son of Lion. I recommend they change their name to Son and Daughter of Lion. I don't know how they would feel about that. This is Jeannie Poole with More Than Half the World, and we've been talking about music by women composers for the last hour or so. Before that, we had an interview with Audre Lorde about her reading at Barnard College, and I would just like to repeat that. Audre will be reading from her new book, The Cancer Journals, and also from The Black Unicorn, her earlier volume of poetry, and from some new poems, brand new poems that she's never read before. I understand. At Barnard, at Lehman Auditorium at 119th Street and Broadway, and at 8 o'clock, and the proceeds will be given to support the Women's Experimental Theater. Is that right? I believe that's the name of their... Yes, the Women's Experimental Theater of New York. And I was talking earlier in the show about the Heresy issue number 10, which is on women in music, which is, as far as I know, the first journal of its sort to deal with women in music in all kinds of different musics, not just folk or popular feminist women's music, but also jazz, blues, gospel, classical, all put together to show that there's a real relationship between what women are doing in all different areas of music. There is a journal in Chicago called Paid My Dues, which is an important journal on women in music, but the emphasis has primarily been on women in feminist music, the more popular feminist women's music. And although they've carried some articles on women in classical music and recently a couple things on jazz, it's not as comprehensive, I don't believe, as this Heresy issue. And I wanted to repeat for you the address, if you didn't get that earlier. Heresies is Post Office Box 766, Canal Street Station, New York, New York, 10013. Now, let's listen to some more of the Mariana Di Martina Sonata. I hate to break up sonatas like this. I played the first movement earlier in the show, and I wasn't sure that I'd have time to finish it, but we'll listen to the Adagio and then the Minuetto. This is Mariana Di Martinez, performed by pianist Nancy Fierro on an album on Pelican label called The Romance of Women's Music. Thank you. just heard Sonata in A Major by Mariana Di Martinez, performed by pianist Nancy Fierro. Actually, you heard the last two movements, Adagio and Minuento. We played the Allegro earlier in the program. It's on an album called The Romance of Women's Music on the Pelican label, Pelican 2017. Nancy Fierro has another album of women's music also on Pelican, which includes works by Elizabeth Delaguerre, Maria Szymanowska. Maria Szymanowska was a Polish woman composer from 1789 to 1831, who anticipated by at least 15 years developments attributed to Chopin. Quite an interesting figure, Maria Szymanowska. And Nancy Fierro, a Catholic sister, has devoted her life to the performance of works by women composers, and will be doing a recital at the First National Congress on Women in Music in March of 81 in New York City. Now we will listen to Meg Christian singing Where Do We Go From Here?
Here we are and the singing is fun. Here we are and we're loving as one. And we're feeling the answers growing more clear. So where do we go from here? Here we are and the singing is fun. Here we are and we're loving as one. Where do we go from here?
Whose eyes won't meet mine?
Because that man is kind. Though you think your part is right, do you wake up empty in the night?
Do you wake up lonely in the
each other's arms so warm. Now find that your love is torn by guilt and fear. Find comfort here. Are you looking for your home? Where is your home?
Don't you know that something's not right? If sisterhood comes too easy or too hard, happy in life, happy in love, staying inside all warm and snug,
drawing the curtains against the sight of sisters needing.
Look out the door, see her being robbed of her child, of her job, see her being raped, and you really think you're safe.
And we're feeling the answers growing more clear.
the devil and the deep blue sea. Well, the water is warm, so come with me, oh, believe, and bring a friend. Well, here we are, and the singing is fun. Here we are, and we're loving as one. And we're feeling the answers growing more clear. So
just heard Meg Christian, Where Do We Go From Here? I wanted to add about the heresy issue number 10, that there will be an open meeting to discuss that issue, heresies number 10, at 8 o'clock, December 17th at the AIR Gallery. And if you want more information on that open meeting, you might call Heresies. Their phone number's in the book. I don't know what it is. But that meeting will be an important exchange of observation information about that issue number 10 on women in music. I think I'll close my program tonight, More Than Half the World, and this has been Jeannie Poole, with a lullaby from Lolita Gainsborough, who was born in 1895, and this is also by the pianist Nancy Fierro. And this lullaby was written for the right hand alone because the composer had to soothe a five-week-old child that she held in her left arm. And she was a pianist and wanted to practice the piano, but had this five-week-old child in her arm. So she improvised this lullaby and then wrote it down, I presume after the child went to sleep. So, Lullaby by Lolita Gainsborough.